I'm Gene Kansas. You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. We explore the cultural and physical development of life in the modern city through the lens of history and the context of community. Today's show, The Cyclorama, brought to you by Perkins & Will and Hirsch Bedner Associates. 150 years ago, Atlanta was a city at war. Just as it is today, the city was a transport hub, although then it was the train rather than the plane that provided the city's lifeblood. Tons of Confederate war material, food, and goods were housed in Atlanta warehouses, and the city's sprawling rail network carried troops and material to the front lines. The Confederacy hung on despite the devastating losses at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, largely thanks to the goods pouring out of Atlanta. That's why, in 1864, Union General William T. Sherman began his famous March to the Sea, aiming to break the Confederate Army by taking away its most vital transportation hub. The Battle of Atlanta cost the lives of over 12,000 American soldiers and is represented today in the 15,000-square-foot oil painting housed at the Atlanta Cyclorama and Civil War Museum. Aptly named Battle of Atlanta, the painting, along with an extensive diorama, depicts the battle in both minute and grand detail. This July 22nd, the Battle of Atlanta celebrates its sesquicentennial anniversary. Joining us is senior military historian at the Atlanta History Center, Gordon Jones, to tell us about this turning point in U.S. history.
The campaign for Atlanta is essentially a campaign fought over the railroads. Abraham Lincoln is up for re-election, and he is being vehemently opposed in the North by the peace wing of the Democratic Party, and they are opposed to a continued war against the Confederacy, which they see as being a useless waste of blood and treasure, and, you know, it's an unwinnable war. They're opposed to emancipation. And Lincoln really needs, the Republican Party really needs a victory, a strong victory, to show the Northern public that the war is winnable. And Atlanta is that victory. What Sherman has to do in order to take the city is to cut off its railroad links to the rest of the Confederacy, hence to cut off its supply lines, to cut the arteries that supply the heart. And so he advances on Atlanta from Chattanooga down the Western and Atlantic Railroad, so he's got that railroad. Then he moves east to the Georgia Railroad that connects Atlanta to Augusta, and he cuts that railroad. And that has to do with the Battle of Bald Hill or the Battle of Atlanta on July 22nd. He sends his cavalry around to the west of town, and he takes out the Atlanta and West Point Railroad. That leaves one supply line, one remaining supply line into Atlanta, and that's the Macon Railroad. And that's the one that the Confederates extend their defense line to protect, to keep that last supply line open, because they're, you know, using 400, 500, 600, 700 tons of supplies every day. So that remaining supply line down to Macon is really what the campaign is about. And Sherman finally gets the bright idea to take his entire army, with the exception of one corps, and he swings them wide out to the west of the city, all the way down to Jonesboro, which is, you know, that point 15 miles below Atlanta. And he cuts that remaining railroad, and that's on August 30th and September 1st of 1864. And it's that moment that the fate of our country really changes, because he's cut the last supply line into Atlanta. That means the Confederacy has to abandon Atlanta, or else the Confederate Army at that point under John Bell Hood is going to get starved out and lose the entire army. So Hood withdraws rather than to let that happen. And at the same moment, the Democratic Party in Chicago is nominating their peace candidate, George McClellan, on the platform that the war cannot be won. Well, Sherman has just won it. And without that victory, we could have possibly seen a negotiated peace with the Confederacy, in which case everything that we know about American history would have changed. So this is that great turning point moment that nobody really knows about, but it happened right here in the Atlanta area.
Our guests today are Derek Williams with the Cyclorama to talk about his role in educating the world about the Battle of Atlanta and its place in American history, and artist, preservationist, owner of the Avery Gallery, Shea Avery.
My name is Shea Avery, and I own Avery Gallery in Marietta. We have been cleaning the Atlanta Cyclorama diorama for the last 29 years. Most of the people who go with us and help are very glad to be there and see it at least once. We've had many people come back over and over again. Everyone walks around in one direction, and they carry bags and rolls of fluorescent tape, so that they can mark things that need restoration and pick up all the strange items that have been tossed by people over the last year.
Can you help for those listeners who have not been to the cyclorama? Can you paint the picture of the picture for us?
When you sit down, you see railroad tracks going into the distance, and they are actual railroad tracks on the diorama, and they run right into or up to the painting, and the painting continues the tracks into the distance. There are cannon and soldiers, equipment such as canteens and guns all over the ground, and the ground is used to be real dirt, but it's been replaced because of damage to all sorts of things. It's now polyester and fiberglass and painted to look like landscape, mostly muddy or dusty battle areas. There are wagons and other pieces of army or military equipment around.
And these are three-dimensional pieces. This yes. is not part of the painting. The diorama is the three-dimensional objects.
It leads up to the painting, yes, okay. Exactly.
We know the tools that it takes to create a work of art. What are the tools and what are the abilities needed to restore a piece of art?
A great deal more than what most people have just to paint. I have had probably well over 100 people tell me that they can fix anything. They can in-paint, is what we call touch-up, and that they can make it look perfect. And out of the 100-plus that I've had apply over the last few years, I've had 3 that could do it properly. So it's not a simple thing where it's not just as easy as deciding to paint something yourself and coming up with something when you're done. People say, oh, ain't that great? Well, maybe it is, but trying to match what someone else has done is very, very difficult. The cyclorama is a little different, but we don't want anything to be a distraction from the viewer's enjoyment of the combination of painting and diorama. If something stands out, then it's noticeably wrong. A distraction is something that we do not want, whether it's in small easel art that we work on or the largest oil painting in the world.
Derek Williams. I work for the Atlanta Cyclorama. I am the audio and visual technician there, and also I conduct the tours. Many of the guests know me as Young Abe.
Tell us about Young Abe.
Young Abe is just a character I made up. Usually the kids enjoy when I say I'm the nephew of Abraham Lincoln, and the first thing they tell me is, Abraham Lincoln was not black. And I said, today, you know, his nephew was black today then, right? You know, so I kind of came up with that name because, of course, Lincoln's, you know, his documentations, you know, the rules that he was wanting to set for the Union was something that was important. We probably wouldn't even have the Civil War or the Battle of States, like some people call it, if it was not for him putting in into legislation some of the rules that he wanted, or preserving the Union like everybody knows. Most of the time, guests either say it's about slavery, or they just said, you know, or it upsets. Believe it or not, it upsets our guest. Well, sometimes we have author sign is there. Lady choose to get on our Facebook page and saying that the talk of slavery has no place in the Atlanta Cyclorama. So we do get those guests that it still ruffles their feathers for whatever reason.
Have you always personally been interested in history?
I had a teacher by the name of Wendell Davis. He's a white guy. And he would always hold my hand and tell me, flip my hand over. He showed the palm side and he showed the backhand side. And he was always telling me, he said, I'm going to show you the backhand side, which is my black hand. And I was always asking him, how is a white man you going to show me the black side and you look more like my palm, the white side? He said, once you read these books and once we go over these topics, you're actually going to see that you're not included in a lot of these stories. And that's not you, I'm saying the people of color. And that's going to lead you into the direction of studying what the people of color did during this era, during these battles, during these skirmishes. And from then on, I was just hooked in a sense, because trying to look into my lineage and look into my background, and I found out I had a lot of Native American in my, you know, in the blood, Blackfoot and Cherokee. And it was amazing because I'm looking at myself and I'm like, I don't see that. But my Spanish professor told me one day, he said, I see the Native in you. You look at your cheekbones and look at you, you know, when you laugh, you barely see your eyes. You know, that's like some of the traits Native Americans have. And he said, have you ever looked into it? And that just led me into more.
Let me ask you this, getting back to some of kind of the nuts and bolts of the Cyclorama. Why don't you tell people, if you don't mind, the history of the building and the art and the name?
The building, the Cyclorama, from our understanding, we just learned that it was February 20th, 1892. So from my understanding, the building had already built before the painting actually arrived. Mr. Griss, George Valentine Griss, basically was a merchant. He lived on partially where the building sits at today. And from my understanding, General Leggett, his family, was on one side. He was killed in action during the Battle of Atlanta, which is basically on Moreland Avenue. And as he was killed in action, his family moved on. Mr. Griss had all the property to himself, in a sense. 1898, the painting was basically auctioned off.
Tell people about this painting, because it's not just any normal painting. I mean, at one time, it was the largest oil painting in the world, right?
Well, it still is the largest in the world. And what I mean by that, the largest in the world, that shows the Battle of Atlanta. There are not any more paintings, quote unquote, here in the country that shows of that size the Battle of Atlanta.
And how big is it?
You're talking about a 42-foot-tall painting, 358 feet in circumference, and it weighs 9,334 pounds. Originally, the painting was 50 feet tall, 400 feet in circumference, and it weighed 18,000 pounds. Of course, sitting inside of a building for almost 100-plus years with nothing being done to it for a while until the 70s, wear and tear is bound to happen. And, of course, to the building, being February 20th, 1892, the building was pretty much needing some TLC, we'll say tender love and care. And, of course, it did not receive that until the great Maynard Jackson came into office in the mid-70s, because basically he was our only politician who thought highly enough to restore it and plus find someone who had the know-how and the knowledge to restore the paint or bring it back to its glory.
I'd like to thank my guests today, Derek Williams and Shay Avery. Of course, we'd also like to thank our sponsors, Perkins & Will and Hirsch Bednar Associates. Have a good summer. We'll see you next month.